of things to say before I start this year, but the first one will be, you know how it always is, you read an item in the paper about somebody who was shot at in the West Bank last night. So I get a call at about 8:15 this morning. I have a secretary in Arnulf, Ruth Pepperman, is her son-in-law, and he was hit seriously, but thank God bullet went through his cheek and through some other part. His eyes may be affected, thank God not his brain. And then his wife was sitting beside him, succeeded in stopping the car and then getting him to the closest medical help, a station of Tsarl. So we will learn for a foolish labor for Moshe Rafael Ben Aliza, together with all the others who are still in hospital since the recent war. Moshe Rafael Ben Aliza. And then on the other side, we have guests from West Hempstead here this morning. All friends of West Hempstead, Sharon and Heshy Sokol, visiting one of their children who is here. They are big Ohav Eretz Yisrael. I can tell you, they may be sitting in West Hempstead, they're in Ma'arav Hempstead, but their heart is in the Mizrach. Is that what did he say again? Libi b'Mizrach. That's what Rabbi said. Works out very good, yes. Libi b'Mizrach, v'anochi b'sof West Hempstead. It's one of those mornings that there's a lot to say, so the best thing to do is to begin. Don't be intimidated by that first source. Don't be intimidated. Just sit back, relax, and we're going to go through it. And then I have to make sure that I get to the things that are very current nature that are extremely important. This is the introduction of the Netziv to Sefer Shemot. The Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin wrote that absolutely outstanding, gefaulig is the best word, set of chumashim with the parish of the Netziv. So he has an introduction. His introduction to Bereshis we learned some while ago. Powerful, powerful introduction. Now I'm going to take a quick look. And just follow me. Halt Kap. Maybe every so often I'll tell you the line we're on. And since you have line numbers, you'll be able to follow me. Zah Sefer Nikra Lefi Ba'alei HaMedrash Sefer Shemot. This book, one of the learning now. This book is called by the Medrash Sefer Shemot. As it says in Bereshit Rabbah, Vayir Neged Sefer Shemot. The Chen Ba'arvei Nekomot, it's called Shemot. That doesn't come as a surprise to you. Ramban Sofa Sefer, the Ramban at the end of the Sefer calls Sefer Shemot, he gives it another name, Sefer HaGeula, the Book of Redemption. Zulat Rabbeinu Bahar, the Baal HaLachot Gedolot, he has a different name for this Sefer, and it's a name which in fact appears in the Gemara. Besov Sifro HaKadosh Yikra'emu, he calls it Sefer Sheni, the second book. Not Shmos, not Sefer HaGula, Sefer Sheni. The Kechoshev, because he lists there the Chamisha Chumshei Torah in a way that you never heard it before, most probably. He says the five Chumashim on Sefer Bereshis, Chumash Sheni, Shmos, Sefer Kohanim, Book of Kohanim, that's by Yikra. Chumash HaPikudim, the Chumash of the senses. What's the plural for sensei? How do you say one senses, two senses? Huh? Senses. Senses. mean counting. We're talking about not as in common sense or tea sense. We're talking about counting. A census is taken, say, in Parshas Bamidbar, and another census is taken in Parshas Pikudei. So it is the book of two Pikuds. And Mishnah Torah, the last one, which is called Mishnah Torah, where Torah is reviewed. Evchinu b'sota, so it says, the Gemara Sota says, Lo kederech shechalukin b'chumash ha-pikudim, ela kederech shechalukin b'chumash sheni. He brings the Gemara Sota, where the Gemara refers to Shmot as chumash sheni. V'shutot rabbeinu nitan l'lamdeinu bina, and from this expression of our rabbis, we can learn to understand many things. Shelo b'chinam shinu Hashem b'zeh ha-sefer. It's not for naught that they change the name of this sefer different than the others. Because if this sefer is Sheni, then you know what it should have been? The Svarim, the five Chumashim, should have been Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, Revi'i, Chamishi. To have one in the middle called Sheni, a Sheni needs a Rishon before it and a Shlishi after it. Another way to call it. In other words, there's something jarring about the difference in calling it Chumash Sheni. If you call all of the Chumashim by a name, Bereishis, Shemos, Kohanim, Pekudim, Mishneh Torah, okay. If you call them all Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, that's okay. But if four of them have a name, and one is called Sheni, there's something jarring about that, which tells us to sit up and take notice. Or it should have been called a name with regard to something that appears in the Sefer, like Yitzias Mitzrayim or Matan Torah. You could have called it Sefer HaYitziah, Sefer Matan Torah. Kemosha Korei Sefer Bamidbar, Sefer Bikudim. Moshe calls Safra Limakol Tam. Hello? Bolalam Deino. You know what the name Chumash Sheni comes to teach us? Dizeh HaSefer B'yichud Hu Sheni L'Sefer Reshis HaBriya. That this book is the second half of the Sefer which talks about the creation of the world. Ki Hu Chelek Sheni Mizeh HaSefer, it's the second part. Hainu, Bo Nigmar Seder HaBriya. By calling it Chumash Sheni, we're saying that the creation that began in Bereishis ends in Sefer Sheni. And the two are interrelated. And Chumash Shmot, that you know, the rest of them call it Shmot, but we now call it Sheni. Chumash Shmot is the continuation, and I would say, the successful and grand conclusion of what was begun in Bereishit. Hainu bo nigmar seder habriya. Creation ends there. Ukvar moron zal. You may remember at the very beginning of Chumash, in the grand first Rashi, after the first part of the Rashi, Rashi says on the word Bereishis, Rashi says a number of meanings. What's the meaning of the word Bereishis? Bereishis means because of Israel, who are called Reshit Ruato, the beginning, the finest of what God created, or Bishvil HaTorah, because Torah is also called Reshit. Hashem Konani Reshit Darpolish in Mishlei. Shlomo HaMelech says that the beginning of God's way is Torah because of Bereishis, because of Yisrael who are called Reshis. Perish, line 11. Taklis Ha'olam Bechlal, the purpose of the world was that there should be one nation, at least on the face of this earth, which is God's people, one people. V'zelo nishlam. And that purpose of creation was not completed. Ad sheyotzu Yisrael mimitzrayim, until Israel left Egypt. Upo letachlisam. And then they achieved their ultimate goal, which was sheyu litzura acheret b'meshe kiblu aleim ol Torah u'mitzvot. Not only did he need a people who would represent him on the face of this earth, but that people's entire form had to be dramatically changed when they became the people of Torah by virtue of the fact that they stood at the foothills of Mount Sinai and they received Torah that God gave from heaven. So in other words, a world without the Jewish people is not the kind of world God wanted. He had to have that people. I would say, therefore, and I'm going to keep throwing in these things, Bereshit and Shemot, both are the story of creation. In Bereshit, we're talking about the creation of individuals. There's an Avraham, a Yitzchak, a Yaakov. There are the 12 Shvatim. There is not yet a nation. The nation is going to come in Sefer Sheni. So in creation, there were two parts. There was the creation of individuals. There was the coming into being, the formation of individuals. And then there's the formation of a people. More than that, of course, there are two sides to God, but the two are absolutely one. Shnayim she'emecho, two that are one. God is the God of creation, and he's the God of history, and you cannot separate the two. There's no such thing as a God of creation who is not involved in the events of this world. The yesod of the God in whom we believe is a God who is intimately involved in the world, and even more so, intimately involved in the story of the Jewish people. So therefore, the end or the completion of creation is these two halves coming together, God of creation and God of history. Sefer Bereshit is, yes, the story of creation, it's the story of nature, Teva. There are no great miracles that shake us or shiver our timbers during all of Sefer Bereshit. Sefer Sheni becomes the book of miracles. And the same God who is the God of nature is also the God of miracles. In Sefer Bereshit, God appears as, from the very beginning, really, as Elohim. 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 The word Elohim has the same numerical value as Hateva, the God of nature. In Sefer Bereshit, he is Elohim, the God of Teva. In Sefer Shemot, he becomes the God of miracles. Nes. And therefore in Elohim also, he is the God of judgment. In Sefer Shemot, he appears to the world as Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. And for that matter, we will see it at one and the same time. I will punish Egypt, and I will take my people Israel out to freedom. One arm rescues, the other arm punishes. At one and the same time, God is invoking his judgment and justice and punishment upon the Egyptians, and at the same time, he is expressing his great mercy, compassion, warmth, and closeness to the Jewish people. So the two stories, the Nitziv says, I mean, I've elaborated a little bit on my own here, but basically the Nitziv is saying that these two stories are one. You can't separate story one from story two. At the very end of this piece, we're going to go a little further yet, but at the very end of this piece, he says, now you can understand why Sefer Shemot begin, or Sefer Sheni,
I have to watch myself.
Why Sefer Sheni begins with a Vav. Ve'ele Shemot B'nei Yisrael. And these are the names. It should have started, Ele Shemot B'nei Yisrael. These are the names of the children of Israel. Ruvei Shemot Levi Yehuda, sorry. Ve'ele. You know what that Vav is? That's the great Vav HaChibur. The Vav that connects Sefer Sheni with B'nei. Because it's all one story. Never the twain shall be separated. These are one. These are one. Let's go a little further. Upazen nichlal kam zeh ha-tachlis sheyuruyim liyot la'or goyim la'amidam ha-yudiyat elokei olam. And what was important in this Sefer Sheni is that Jews will become, should become, have to become a light unto the nations, and that they should be the one who will disseminate the knowledge of the eternal God in the world. I don't know how God planned on this happening when they despise us so much. We certainly are the most despised people on the face of this earth. Does it upset any of you? Doesn't upset me, boy. I'm proud. Okay. Well, be it. You know, this is the kind of family I don't have to choose. You know, I don't necessarily have to be a member of the family of nations. Often fate to be a member of that Pashtun family. Ukamoshet Yaru, Beguf HaSefer, etc. All right, let's see where we'll go. 18, take a look at line 18. Ninza. So what emerges is that Yitzchak Mitzrayim HaYogemar HaBriyah, you see, the exodus from Egypt was the completion of creation. On Matan Torah, or the giving of Torah is the completion of creation. Kimuvur O, Berhaba, in Medrash Rabbah, in Bereshis, Beschus HaTorah, Shenigris Reshis, and the source of Torah, and then he brings that famous Gemara that Rashi brings, Vayer Vayivoke Yom Hashishi. All of creation was waiting for the great Yom Hashishi, the sixth day of Seth Sivan, in which the Jewish people will receive Torah. And when God said to them, in the Kabbalah Yisrael of Torah, if Israel accepts Torah, good, I'm going to send you back to absolute nothingness. Ninza, therefore, means that Matan Torah is Gemar HaBriyah. That's the end of creation. That's the end of creation. Line 23. V'das Torah Eitzol Am Hashem Hu Kumodat Enoshi Umidot Yisharot Shel Torat Ha'adam. What Torah wants to teach the Jewish people and through the Jewish people, the world, to teach them how to be mentioned, how to conduct yourself like righteous and good people. I said, Aval Gav, Shelo Higia Tevel Umoloa, Lezer Hashlemus, Arachas Manav, Achavir Shemai, Boris, you know, he says, mankind did not really achieve yet that goal. Of being yashar, being right, correct, straight, honest, decent, moral, ethical. But that will come. I have a feeling, I mean, the Nitziv felt this about 150 years ago. I don't know if you take a look at our world now, I don't know what you would say, maybe it will most probably be something that will be accomplished when the Mashiach comes, that a world should be yosher, straight. All right. Okay, so here we have two svarim, Bereshis, and then we have Sefer Sheni. Now, what begins to happen in the second sedra of Sefer Sheni? That's number two. You don't have to count the number of psukim there. I'll tell you right now, there are 10. These psukim appear in Parashat Vayera. Some of them may be in Bow. By each one of the Makos, God says precisely what the point is. V'yadu Mitzrayim ki'ayi inni Hashem Mitzrayim shal nodar an gar. B'zot teda, through this you will know that I'm the Hashem. Leman teda, but then they're being taught more. In other words, the Makos were never merely to inflict punishment on the Egyptians. If they suffered, believe me, they deserved it. They deserved it. I don't know, after a while last night I started thinking of Larry Dürfner writing the piece on Sefer on Parshas Vayera. God, absolute disproportionate punishment. Not only that, the number of civilian dead. Almighty, the civilian dead. Now that every miserable thing that they said about us in the course of the last 3 weeks, and it will still resonate in the world for who knows how long to come, and say it all about the Rebbein Shalom. But the Rebbein Shalom doesn't get shook up, you understand, from the United Nations or the Larry Dürfners, etc., etc., in this world. But the Rebbein Shalom is saying, no, 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 no. There are no innocent civilians. The Egyptian in the street went into Jewish homes to find children and throw them into the mire. There were no innocent civilians. I don't know how many innocent civilians there are in Gaza. Innocent civilians. Disproportionate, you understand. No, the chutzpah, of taking an army that has most probably sacrificed more soldiers so as not to hurt innocent civilians, in quotation marks, and accuse us of it's unbelievable. They have the shooting at them sometimes. So I know what your answer is. No, 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 don't read the papers. Don't listen to the radio. It's better for your health. So I have a weakness. I'm a weakness. I can't help it. God ups the ante. Not only is he teaching them, he wants to teach them that there is a God. He wants to teach them that there is no other God like him. In order that you should know, there is none like God our God. The lesson continues. That's what we said about Sefer Sheni. In order you should know there is no God like me in the midst of the earth. I'm here. I'm involved. So that you should know there's none like me in the whole earth. You have to learn something else. Not only am I on this land, you should know it's all mine. It's all mine. I created it. Is that a continuation of Sefer Bereshis? It sure is. V'yadatam, you will know t'yene Hashem. L'man teden an ordination or Hashem yafla Hashem v'yitzchem v'yisrael, that God is going to differentiate between the Egyptians and between Israel. These will suffer, and these are going to be redeemed. Twice it says at the end, V'yodu Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim in particular, shall know, Ki Ani Hashem. The purpose of all the Makos was in order to let Mitzrayim, and by extension the world, know that there is a God. I'm going to say something that bothers me. This morning. Listen, they used to accuse me of finding my brushes in the New York Times. No, Now you can tell me the Jerusalem Post. The new American president, this is today, this one, the new American, the editorial, the new American president will no doubt have noted Ismail Haniyeh's Thanksgiving speech, broadcast on Hamas TV, in which Gaza's prime minister declared, Allah has granted us a great victory. Not for one faction or party or area, but for our entire people. I saw it, and it became divine. You know why I got sick? I'll tell you why I got sick. When Soyuz Chavez, our prime minister, Ehud Olmert spoke about the successful conclusion. And he thanked this one, and he thanked that one. The name of God was not uttered. And at the same time, I take a look on TV, and I see, I very rarely watch TV. Very rarely. And of all things I see on the news, one of the goodbye parties for Condoleezza Rice. The last two sentences she said were, God bless you all. God bless America. Shom Shamayim. Did you hear Livni say God bless Israel? Did you hear Barak say it? What's wrong with these people? What's wrong with these people? We are an Am Hashem, and they don't get it. Now, the purpose of this year is going to be in order to make it clear, if you don't get something as simple as that, then you are in fact a source of great danger to the Jewish people because you cannot see what's happening in the world with any degree of clarity. I'm a glutton for punishment. By the way, Ed Bright got upset about that. There was a letter to the editor yesterday by this guy Mark Lesnick from Beit Shemesh. One thank you was unfortunately absent from the gratitude both Prime Minister Olmert and Defense Minister Barak expressed to several individuals connected with the Gaza operation. Throughout the ordeal, we learned of the many miracles that transpired there, of how all the danger notwithstanding, so few Israelis lost their lives in battling on the whole front. We saw many individuals who had narrowly escaped death standing next to homes destroyed by enemy missiles, and heard them utter two simple words. Thank God. Baruch Hashem. If only our leaders would recognize that there is someone, capital S, watching over us, and direct some gratitude in his, capital H, direction. End of letter. It's a timer. Just now I was up in Avi Berman's office, and he tells me, Sunday. I don't think I'll be able to tell this story over with all the details as he told it to me, but some of our people from the Israel Center went down to house out with 200 pairs of tefillin, and soldiers were putting on tefillin one after another. You understand? In every war that we have ever fought, invariably, inevitably, there will be a picture of a soldier with talus and tefillin on attack. That's the only way even the average Chiloni in this country knows that the Jewish people is at war. That's the symbol. The first night that they went in, they kept showing on TV over and over again the eighth night of Hanukkah lighting the menorah. There is no Chiloni secular way in the world to show that a Jewish army is on the march. And nearly every day there was another picture. A minion davening shielded by a tank. I kept getting calls. A nephew of mine was filmed all over the world, you know, standing on a tank with his talus and tefillin davening. I Ki ani Hashem b'keder ot. They don't know it. They don't know it. It's a tragedy. It's a profound tragedy. We are surrounded by Hashgacha Pratis, God's divine providence, and no, they should be thrown out on their heads just for that. So Avi told me that the but there's a place, there's a marzipan place over here, I have a grippus.
Yes.
It's called marzipan. It's called marzipan, yeah.
Yes.
I think, and I think it's a ragawa.
Yeah.
So I understand that it's under the OU. And they went down with a lot of this OU stuff. And one of the soldiers starts speaking with Avi and he says, Mazer, OU, I can't tell you all the details of the conversation, but it turns out he's an NCSY boy from Memphis, Tennessee. And he became fluent through NCSY. And because of NCSY, he ultimately went to Yeshiva, and he came to Eretz Yisrael, and he was now in the army. And he says, we've seen God before our eyes every day. He described how what's necessary in order to take over a house. Every building that they took over was a major operation because of a booby trap built. And when they took over a building, and then they put sandbags over the window with one little place for a fella who's supposed to stand there with a gun to watch if anybody approaches and shoot, and shoot. Had to be there for hours on end. And he asked his fellas, he said, give me a tillum. So he has his gun and he's saying tillum. He had finished saying tillum and he wanted to put the tillum down. So he bent down, put down the tillum, a bomb went flying through the window. He was unhurt. He was putting the tillum down. Does that maybe shiver somebody's spine? There's a relation. And even Homer and Barak in Livni can't say it. I used to hear this years ago, and I wasn't moved by the complaint, but I am now deeply, deeply hurt because I hope that it is a symptom of the danger in which we find ourselves. So I'll tell you, I'm a real glutton for punishment. I pulled it out. I did. I washed my hands afterwards. I pulled out Shimon Peres's book, The New Middle East. The story of the Oslo... Now, I have to tell you the story. Don't think that I'm stammering. The book, when printed, sold for $36. I was in Toronto, and I look in the window of a bookstore, they have it marked down to $4.99. Canadian. As I said, $4.99. And it's shiny, you know, I can commit myself. And as I come in, by the way, I also bought another book then. Netanyahu's book against terrorism was marked down to $10.99. Oh, I feel good. They would have marked him down lower than the Paris Shamantar. So I told the guy, listen, keep Netanyahu's book at $10.99. Don't drop it from there. And I want to buy both of them. So he said, yes, Rabbi Goldberg, you're going to New York. So I'm not sure. Why do you want to know? You can get Paris' book for a buck in New York. So I start reading. He describes it's the wee hours of the morning after a whole night up. Finally, August 10th, I believe it was, 1993, as they are preparing the document, the Declaration of Principles, the Oslo Accords to be signed. And of course he waxes very poetic as he is capable of. And Hussein is supposed to see in your image as the, by the dawn's early light, that this is the dawn of a new era, the sun is shining, and Abu Shmava says to him, because it happened to be Peres's 70th birthday, this is your birthday present, Mr. Peres. And then, you know, wiping away the sleep from his eyes, they sighed back. What was I interested in? What was I looking for in the new meetings? Because I remember from having read it the last time around. The rebirth of the Palestinian people, not rebirth, birth, there never was, there never is, there still isn't. How will peace come to the Middle East? Peace will come to the Middle East through a few strategically located industrial parks. Jobs, provide jobs to the Palestinians, raise their level of income, their standard of living, a number of malls, big shopping malls. And these big shopping malls, I imagine, an Old Navy, a Lord and Taylor, an Allmart. You understand? The whole four or five chapters in the book are talking about economic development. There will be a tax-free, duty-free zone. It's going to become Singapore. And I'm thinking to myself, Shemu Shemai, the man doesn't get it. And if I needed any proof, these are things that I wrote a few weeks ago, all sorts of notes. I don't think I have it. I think I left it at home. Some woman wrote a book, and they reviewed it in the Jerusalem Post. It's all about religion, stupid. Because Thursday, I read this, all the notes that I had over here, my little book on it. She says, there's no war going on against Israel because of economy or money or land. That's not the issue. This is a struggle that's fueled by religion. Now, the problem with our secular leadership is they don't understand the meaning of Mesiras Nefesh for Shabbos, for Kashrus, for Taras HaMishpacha. They don't know the meaning of self-sacrifice or something religious. So they can't begin to understand what motivates the enemy. They don't know the enemy that's there before them. They think you'll throw a few bucks at them and you'll raise their standard of living. You'll pour in billions of dollars. And Peres went out to raise money in the world, you understand? A high-powered mashiach, you understand? Mashiach, the money for the Palestinians. It all went, was lost. It was all eaten up. It was all stolen by leadership, corrupt leadership. If you think, if you remove God, and even their perversion, of course, of God, theirs is a perversion that's not the God of Yosef and Tzedek and goodness. Of course not. We're supposed to show that to the world. But if you don't understand the fervor or the strength, the hold, the power that religion has over a person, you can't begin to understand the Islamic enemy. And I hold that people who cannot naturally express the name of God, it's Tachil Hashem, I'm telling you, I hope they didn't hear in heaven Hania saying that Allah has given us a great victory, and then the speeches of Olmert and Barakatah. You know, You know who the leadership of this country is? The men in the street and the soldier on the front. There were no secular Jews in foxholes. I mentioned last week that our grandson was deep in Gaza at the wedding of his brother a week and a half ago. He came out for a day after the wedding. He got to one of the Shepherd brothers, and he comes to the house and he's sitting and he's talking. It seems that they had been, this was before the war, yeah, right before the war, they were someplace up in the Shomron, and they had to get by certain kalim for pots, pans, other things. And he's one member of an elite group of 10. 9 are secular, and he's a religious boy. He says, it was Erev Shabbos there, he says, I can't use it until we take it to the mikveh. So he's peeled out, he explained to him, sorry, we have to find a mayan someplace. And by the way, these kids know every spring in the country. His brother, the Chosin, is most probably the greatest expert on springs in this country. And by the way, when the Bishop told Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm bringing you to a land where there are yanot, uta, umot, yotzim, papika, ubaha, there are rivers and streams and wells, they are all over. Anyway, they found a mayan. They were table the Kalim, and later they said, they brought something, and he says, no, that's not so kosher, not sure it's kosher. So his commander says, we'll take it in. The man in the Hanau in the front, he's from whether he knows it or not. They are worthy of better leadership. They're worthy of much, much better leadership. Because I tell you, the point number one that I want to make is that a leader who cannot appreciate the power and the depth of religious commitment cannot begin to assess the enemy that Jews face worldwide. Certainly cannot assess or understand the enemy within our very midst. You think you can buy him off with a few bucks, you're going to turn him into a Jew lover, give up war for all time. That's a big, big lie. Number two, if I'm going already, I haven't begun the shiur, maybe we'll begin next week. I don't know, you don't have to start the shiur every week. There's a second thing. The secular nature of our leadership is therefore a leadership that sees absolutely no sanctity or meaning to a piece of land. A piece of land is nothing more than real estate. You can give it away, you can bargain it away, you can throw it away, because there is no meaning, no serious meaning attached to it. And if there's no serious meaning attached to it, so you can have it one at the same time, an Islamic world that will not be willing to give up on one single inch of land in this country. It's all ours. This is a religious conviction of theirs that it belongs to them. According to Islamic law, any land that was ever inhabited by Muslims becomes, I'm afraid to use what the Gemara would have used. Any land that they lived on is kitshol shaita, the kitshol osin logo. is sanctified for the time and sanctified in all time. There's no way to undo that sanctity. It's theirs, and then we'll wait until the end of time, until again. But when you're dealing with people on the other side who don't have that religious condition, before this war broke out, I mean, they've been running with Shigoyim to make a deal with Syria. Is there anybody who understands why anybody would want to give the Golan Heights away? Why would you give it in Shigoyim? Everything that we ever gave up, we had to go back. The Rebbeinu Shlomo has the last laugh. We moved out of Yudam Shomron. Tzal had to go back in because they were sending in suicide bombers. The only reason why Yudam Shomron is quiet is because Tzal is there. Tzal had to go back into Gaza, and if they think Lechved Obama, they will bring every Israeli soldier out of Gaza, they're going to have to go back. I think we should talk last week about the fact you can't thwart God's plans. God's plan for history is that Eretz Yisrael should be out. You can't thwart God's plan. We're going to learn a little bit about the parasha. And you know what? I know this. I'm going to call this year Bereshis. And next week's year is going to be called Sefer Shemini.
You've got to
stay another week. It'll be a continuation because there was a great deal that I had to say and I didn't say it yet. But it's all relevant to next week's Sefer as well. Let's close at least with the Abardinel. Number three is the Abardinel. Paro, Chen Pirush Abardinel, okay, there, Paro, Hoyacholik on Moshe, number three, Paro disagreed with Moshe and Shlosha Shoroshim, three root ideas. Moshe Hiniach, Mitziyut Sibarishana, Moshe is the one who said Mitziyut, the existence of God, is the first cause. God must exist. Uparo hikrish mitziyuto. And Paro was one who denied the existence of God. Vongro, when he said, Lo yodati ech Hashem. He said, I don't know who God is. What are you telling me about Hashem? Vashodesh Hasheni, the second root difference between Moshe and Paro. She Moshe hiniach she'elukah mashgiach b'choda kebriyadah. Moshe believed with absolute faith that God's divine providence. He watches over everybody and knows exactly what every human being does. To give a person what he deserves. Paro denies this when he said, Mi Hashem, who's God? I don't see him. He's not here. He's not involved in history. Vashorish Hashlishi, and the third root, Shemoshe Hiniyah, She'elekah HaMashgiyah, Ha'u, Hu Elekei Yisrael, Bal HaKohot V'Hayicholet, the God who watches over this world is the God of Israel, the one who has the power and the ability. Yachol Shanot Tivei HaDvarim, God can change nature dramatically. Uparo, Yakhisho, we are known Paro, rejected this and denied it by saying, who is God that I have to listen to his voice? Well, he can do something to me, he can touch me, he can hurt me. I don't see him, I don't know him. It's a Yeshba. What power does he have? What ability does he have? She'ekonav evono, that I should bend before him, lishma mekolo, to listen to his words. Himibnei zeh, because of this, bo hamakot mechuvanot, so the Abraham didn't say that the makot came calculated. in order to teach Paro these three lessons. Bo shalosh matas rishonos. Olalein. Nezeh bo amatas mechuponos la'amis shloshet hasharoshim ha'eile. To show that these three roots are true. La'amed mitziyut hakel. To say that the existence of God is true. The first three makot. Dan tzvadeya kinim. La'amed hasharosh hasheni. To prove the second root, which is that root, not only is there a God, but this God is also the one whose divine providence rests upon us, and he leads the world. The second three makos, the last three makos, they come to teach us the third root. He can change nature. He can absolutely change nature. Now the fact is it would take a lot of time in order to explain precisely how the Abravanel arrives at these, how he takes the three roots and shows them to be related to each of those makos. We had said some years ago in Shir from the Aruch HaShulchan, how the Tzach, Habash, Bachav do represent these three, but here, Abravanel is a bit different. We can make an argument for all of this. Lefiha Abravanel, this last paragraph here. Lefi Abravanel, boy, they thought Shlosha Tamar Zodim, Shlitzach, Abar, Bachav, according to the Abravanel, these three groups of Tzach, Abash, Bachav, Asher Rosh Kol Echad Hem Omi Echad Me'asor Psukim D'Liel. At the beginning of each one, there's one of those psukim, in order that you should know the mountain, Dakiyah Hashem, you should know that I'm God, that I'm God, in the midst of the land. L'lamid et Mitzchayim L'dat at Hashem, that Mitzchayim should learn to know God in Shalosh Bekinos in three specific ways. Kipodei HaKol, Ka'adonei HaHistoria, Ukemoshel B'Teva. Everyone was learning it, I wrote the English on the stomach, to see him as creator, as master of history, and the ruler of nature. If we are to use the Nisiv, creator is Sefer Bereishis, master of history is Sefer Sheni, and ruler of nature is both Bereishis and Sheni. In Bereishis, we are told that he created nature, and in Sefer Sheni, we're told that he can at will dramatically change and undo nature. You talking? We'll take a look at number four, and with that we'll close. I had said at the beginning, Bereishis and Sheni, one is Din, God's mighty hand, and Sefer Sheni, and Shidachamim, God's mercy, because ultimately the great story of Sefer Sheni is, as the Ramban said, it's the Sefer HaGeula that Jews are redeemed. And you see these two things side by side, two psukim. You can feel it in the psukim. Then I can't be at Yadid in its hand, I will put my hand in Egypt. In this pasuk, it's fascinating. In this pasuk, you have din at the beginning, din, judgment, punishment at the end, and God's infinite mercy in the middle. I will bring my hand against Egypt. That's, of course, God's punishment. The middle of the pasuk is just the structure of the pasuk is so beautiful. You should never look at a pasuk like it's just another pasuk. There is no other pasuk. Every pasuk is special. In the middle, sandwiched in between the Natati et Yadid and Mitzrayim, I will bring my hand against Egypt. And the end of the pasuk, v'shpatim gedolim, great punishment I will bring. And in the middle it says the purpose, v'hotzeiti et tzivatai, I will take out my hosts, et ami b'nei Yisrael, my people b'nei Yisrael, v'eretz Mitzrayim, v'shpatim gedolim. And then there's another pasuk, v'yadu Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem Mitzrayim, will know that I'm God. Two parts to this pasuk. How will they know that I'm God? You can know God not only by his punishment, but by his great compassion. First half of the pasuk, b'netoti et yadi al Mitzrayim, when I will stretch out my hand against Egypt. Second half of the pasuk, v'hotzeiti et bnei Yisrael mitocham, and I will take Israel out from their limits. The whole purpose of all of the makas is to learn the essence of God's existence in this world and the way in which he conducts himself in this world. Yes, we've had some losses, but there's no question about it that 6, 7, 8 thousand kasanim, you understand, if there wouldn't be a Rabbeinu Shlomo here, I'm afraid to think of what kind of death and destruction that would be. But we become already, they're not become callous for that. We have to understand that there's something going on before our very eyes. And you know what? Even 6, 7, 8 thousand chassanim still don't knock sense into our leadership. And you know, I was never such a big fruity. But now, I'm not apologizing for that. But it's very bad. The fact is today, I'm going to quote Ben Gurion. Wasn't it Ben Gurion said, the one who believes in miracles is a realist? Did he say it, or did the Chofetz Chaim say it? Our whole existence here is one big miracle. You have to be able to see God. So that Chalei Russia who will burn in Yehenim Hania is able to say, Allah gave us a miracle, you understand? Rabbeinu Shlomo, don't listen to our politicians. We say that we know that there's a Rabbeinu Shlomo who watches over us. And in place of Omer, we're all going to say thank you, Rabbeinu Shlomo. Keep taking care of us.
Oh, you got it.